Our virtual tour in 1929 brings us into the town of Port Leisha to that church with the splendid tower and spire. And while one, of course, wants to think especially of all who worship there, who look after it, who minister there, I divert for a moment because Port Leash is also uniquely in the diocese the location of two prisons, the Old Prison and the Midlands Prison. And it's no harm to remember that those who are involved in ministry there over the years have also ministered to a community of people whom the courts have chosen to place within the confines of those prisons. And prisons are not where you go for punishment. They are where you go for the safety of society. Punishment is not something that's inflicted in prison. Removal of your liberty is considered to be sufficient. And the important thing about prison is that it provides safety for the public and for the prisoners, but also provides a place, one hopes, for rehabilitation, for skill building, for the emergence of people whenever it's right back into society. And no harm to remember the generations of clergy of different denominations who in Port Leash, as part of their life, have had ministry behind the walls as something of what they do to a section of the population of the diocese that the rest of us never see. But Jesus does remind us that when we visit the prisoner, we do, in a sense, it's one of the ways we, as it were, visit, encounter him. 1929, back to history. No harm to look outside Ireland and the Irish churches for a moment. Fascism was growing worryingly on the continent of Europe. One of the great, or far less than great, fascist leaders' names was Mussolini of Italy, who took the opportunity of his coming to power to sort out the long-running dispute between the Italian state and the papacy. And by the 1929 concordat, or agreement between Mussolini's Italy and the papacy, the Pope is made sovereign over the Vatican, a tiny statelet within Rome. And there's all sorts of practicalities involved. The extent of the jurisdiction of the Italian police in St. Peter's Square, the Swiss Guard as providing personal protection to the Pope, the Vatican Post Office with its independent stamps and close relationship with the Swiss Post Office in terms of international mails. And the Vatican allows the Pope to this day to be head of state as well as of a church, with all the protocols that go with that, including the exchange of ambassadors. And many of you will have visited Rome and witnessed these arrangements, and I've particular experience or reason of late to experience them because, as many will know, I chair the governors of the Anglican Centre in Rome. In normal non-COVID times, I would have a chance to visit Rome two or three times a year, and it's always fascinating to walk down to the Vatican and see how all these interplays still work. Exchanging ambassadors with the Vatican is interesting, including from our own Irish point of view. Even in these days of cyber communication, the Vatican remains a great international place of international exchange and conversation and sharing of ideas and insights and political wisdom. Over and above its religious role, it does these things, and it's a place, a conversation where one needs to be, where one's ear as a nation needs to be present. And when Ireland abolished its small embassy to the Holy See, really because of a kind of national anger over the aftermath of the church abuse, the child abuse scandals, it quickly realised the loss of actually being present in the Vatican diplomatic community in terms of international networking, and found a way to get back there and to reopen a small embassy. And I've had cordial relationships with and much kindness from the present ambassador, Ambassador Derek Hannan, from Ireland to the Holy See. And his role remains fascinating indeed, although I'm sure nobody wants to say too loudly that all of that is rooted in an agreement made between Mussolini and the papacy.